I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is September 5th, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, Burn a Koran Day, will be September 11th, 2010, hosted by Pastor Terry Jones. He lists 10 reasons to burn a Koran. Number one, the Quran teaches that Jesus Christ, the crucified, risen Son of God, King of kings and Lord of lords, was not the Son of God, nor was he crucified, which is a well-documented historical fact that only Islam denies. No, Terry, Muslims are not the only ones who deny all those things. They are also denied by all other religions and all non-believers. In other words, two-thirds of the world does not believe those things. And only Christians believe that Christ's crucifixion is a well-documented historical fact. It continues, this teaching removes the possibility of salvation and eternal life in heaven for all Islam's believers. Well, Terry, they say the exact same thing about you and your beliefs, and they have exactly the same amount of evidence as you do. Zilch. He continues, they face eternal damnation in hell if they do not repent. Terry, when you get to judgment, take a good look around. If everywhere you look you see virgins, then you better start covering your body in sun lotion as quickly as possible. Reason number two, the Quran does not have an eternal origin. It is not recorded in heaven. The Almighty God, creator of the world, is not its source. It is not holy. Terry, how do you know the Quran does not have an eternal origin, or that it is not recorded in heaven, or that Allah is not the source, or that it isn't holy? You couldn't possibly know these things. He said, its writings are human in origin, a concoction of old and new teachings. Well, Terry, the exact same thing is true of your Bible. Reason number three, the Quran's teaching includes Arabian idolatry, paganism, rites, and rituals. Terry, if you want to read about rites and rituals, turn to Exodus 34 and check out the replacement set of the Ten Commandments. That would be the set that God gave to Moses to replace the original broken set. Reason number four, the earliest writings that are known to exist about the Prophet Muhammad were recorded 120 years after his death. Terry, what a coincidence! The Gospels in the Bible were also recorded decades after Jesus' death, and the books that were rejected were the ones that described a non-divine Jesus. He continues, all of the Islamic writings, the Quran and the Hadith, the biographies, the traditions and histories, are confused, contradictory, and inconsistent. Terry, now I know you haven't read your Bible. There is no text on earth more confused, contradictory, and inconsistent than the scripture upon which you base your life. He said, maybe Muhammad never existed. Well, Terry, maybe Jesus never existed. But neither matters because the issue is not about existence, but about claims of divinity. Either Muhammad or Jesus were divine, or they were a couple of ancient televangelists scamming gullible goat herders. Personally, I like the second one. He said, we have no conclusive account about what he said or did, yet Muslims, that's the way he writes it, follow the destructive teachings of Islam without question. Terry, and you Christians are different how? Reason number five to burn a Quran. Muhammad's life and message cannot be respected. The first Meccan period of his leadership seems to have been religiously motivated and a search for the truth. But in the second Medina period, he was corrupted by power and worldly ambitions. These are characteristics that God hates. They also led to political assassinations and massacres, which continue to be carried out on a regular basis by his followers today. Terry, Christian history is just as bloody. The main difference is that modern humans have tamed Christians and taken away many of their inhuman, horrible practices, while many in Islam still haven't gotten the message. Reason number 6. Islamic law is totalitarian in nature. Terry, I wasn't able to find any evidence of democracy in the Bible. Perhaps you could direct me to where I could find it. He said, there is no separation of church and state. It is irrational. Terry, irrational is a word that you should not legally be allowed to use. He said, it is supposedly immutable and cannot be changed. It must be accepted without criticism. Terry, you have done a great job of proving that Christianity and Islam are simply two sides of the same foul coin. Reason number 7 to burn a Quran. Islam is not compatible with democracy and human rights. Terry, I don't disagree. I'm just wondering how it is possible for you to be so blind to the similarities between your beliefs and theirs. He said, the notion of a moral individual capable of making decisions and taking responsibility for them does not exist in Islam. The attitude towards women in Islam as inferior possessions of men has led to countless cases of mistreatment and abuse, for which Muslim men receive little or no punishment, and in many cases are encouraged to commit such acts, and are even praised for them. This is a direct fruit of the teachings of the Quran. Terry, once again, mistreatment of women and relegation to second-class status is not restricted to Islam. Christianity promoted those ideas long before Islam even existed. Reason number 8. A Muslim does not have the right to change his religion. Apostasy is punishable by death. Well, Terry, you got that one right. Reason number 9. Deep in the Islamic teaching and culture is the irrational fear and loathing of the West. Terry, it's not the fact that we are in the West. Religion divides humanity into warring tribes. Always has, always will. It divides and conquers, surviving on threats and fear, backed up by the force to carry out those threats. Islam, Judaism, and Christianity happen to be the worst of the world's religions, but they are by no means alone. And finally, reason number 10 to burn a Quran. Islam is a weapon of Arab imperialism and Islamic colonialism. Wherever Islam has or gains political power, Christians, Jews, and all non-Muslims receive persecution, discrimination, and are forced to convert. There are massacres and churches and synagogues, temples, and other places of worship that are destroyed. Terry, once again, you are right. Unfortunately, you refuse to see that Christians were just the same for 2,000 years. It is only in recent times that we have taken away your slaves, stopped you people from stoning people to death for rule infractions, and from burning people to death because of the terror you have of your imaginary spirit world. And now that we have finished with his 10 reasons for burning a Quran, here are some excerpts from his website. Signs were vandalized that said, Islam is of the devil. Last night, one of our signs was vandalized. This is private property, and vandalism is a crime here in America. Terry, not according to Christian Chrissy Satterfield. He continues, in Islam, many actions that we consider to be crimes are encouraged, condoned, or sheltered under Islamic teaching and practice. Terry, you mean crimes like slavery, stoning people to death who work on the Sabbath, burning astrologers to death, human sacrifice? Are those the kinds of crimes you're referring to? Oh, I'm sorry, Terry. I got the Quran confused with your Bible. His site continues, reasons to protest Islamic centers and mosques. We have been protesting Islam with sings and t-shirts in public places for a year now. Terry, try that shit in the Middle East and you wouldn't make it to lunch. He says, Christians all over the world are persecuted for their faith. Why? Christianity is like no other faith or way of life. Actually, Terry, it is very similar to Islam. Both their holy books have all the same characters and many of the same stories. Both use the threat of eternal torture to ensure control over the masses. They are far more alike than they are different. His site continues, yesterday, a group of us stood outside the X-Mart pornography shop in Southwest Gainesville, Florida, with signs and a megaphone. We were protesting the immorality of our city and of our nation. The store called the police on us twice, but quite thankfully, the law was on our side. Well, Terry, I guess the law isn't on your side anymore since your arrest on child pornography charges on August 4th. The Lord works in strange ways, doesn't he, Terry? When you figure out why don't you let us know? His site continues, God detests sexual perversion. Repent. In the Old Testament, sexual perverts, adulterers, prostitutes, and homosexuals were put to death on God's orders because of the destructive wickedness of such acts. Under the New Covenant, we know that Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross, so this penalty is not meted out in this life. Jesus forgave the adulteresses that were to have been stoned, but he said to her, go and sin no more. The severity of the sin remains and is just as hated by God. We have a chance in Christ to repent and seek forgiveness and deliverance from sexual perversion. Terry, is that what you plan to do? Just say you're sorry and then go back to swapping pictures of little nude children? He continues, I have been reading the recently published book, Irshad and the Abuse of Muslim Women. This nightmare of a story inspired my collection of images of Muslims, which became a slideshow. Terry, what inspired your collection of naked little kids that landed you in jail? His site continues, women in an Islamic world face a host of horrors, legalized rape, pedophiles, genital mutilation, child marriages, temporary marriages, polygamy. Terry, women in the Christian world have faced many of those same horrors. Pedophiles seem to be everywhere among the Catholic clergy. Genital mutilation is common, not just for Jews, but Gentiles alike. Child marriages and polygamy are still common among the Christian sect of Mormonism. And temporary marriages are as common among Christians as anyone else. Maybe you should reread that Bible verse about removing the log from your own eye before complaining about the mote in your brother's. He says, Islam and Sharia law are America's most powerful enemy. Terry, that may be true in the future, but right now I see you as a bigger problem. His website continues, God hates porn. On the one hand, God does not mean for us to be prudes, afraid of the topic of sex, or ashamed of the beauty of the human body, covering ourselves from head to toe like the Muslim women under their tents. But on the other hand, the sexual act is intended by God for marriage between one man and one woman, a private act. Porn shops and their contents are a destructive, immoral glorification of sin, a blight on our land. God hates them. Well then, Terry, as soon as God gets a copy of the daily crime stats and sees your name under Booked for Possession of Kitty Porn, you may want to reconsider all those mean things you said about Islam. Maybe Allah will forgive you and let you work for Him. The website continues, abortion protest. We protested the All Women's Health Center which is an abortion clinic murdering babies up to 24 weeks. Terry, here's a hint. Invest in a dictionary. They aren't murdering babies. Until birth, it is a fetus. After birth, it becomes a baby. He continues, we are nice, friendly, sweet, and loving Christians, remember? God loves everybody. Terry, now you are beginning to remind me of those rioting Muslims who were caught carrying signs that said, Islam, the religion of peace. They too fail to see the irony. His website continues, Dr. Terry Jones spent more than 30 years as a missionary pastor in Germany. During that time, he saw firsthand the decline of Christianity and the dramatic rise of Islam. So Terry, if your God is all-powerful, why is he getting his ass kicked by a ghost with a turban? He continues, the support for pro-abortion politicians and laws puts the blood of the 3,500 murdered children per day on our hands. And that is just the legal abortions. Terry, a while back you tried to promote fetuses to the status of babies. Now you are promoting them to children. At this rate, by the end of this show, they will be getting aborted right before graduating high school. His website continues, Islam's child brides in Nigeria. We often see reports of child brides in countries like Saudi and Yemen, but the practice is common. There is, in fact, no age limit for marriage in Islam, and a girl can find herself born married. Former Muslims Wafa Sultan and Noni Darwish, among many others, also report that sexual molestation of young girls is also common. Terry, travel to Utah and you can find thousands of child brides, and every single one of them is a Christian. And you can find sexual molestation all over the United States, which is 75% Christian. He continues, Islam's greatest enemies are Christianity and Judaism. Actually, Terry, Islam's greatest enemies are the same as those of Christianity and Judaism. They are freedom of religion, freedom of speech, science, logic, and reason. His website continues, in support of Westboro Baptists. On Sunday, Westboro Baptist Church came to Gainesville. One of their stops was a liberal, open doors, open hearts, open minds church near us. So we took part of our Sunday service time and went as a church to stand with them. Wow, Terry, I can't believe that we had all the kooks together in one place, if even only for a short time. What I wouldn't have given for access to a limited nuclear device. He continues, if you don't agree with the Christian teaching, at least be glad that in the West you live under the freedom and safety of its teaching, which has shaped our laws. Terry, how has it shaped our laws? The first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Our Constitution grants freedom of religion. That is the direct opposite of what the Bible teaches. One commandment says, thou shalt not kill, yet we have capital punishment. Exactly which of the Bible's laws shaped our Constitution? He continues, a biblical look at Islam. Some Christians have told us that our Islam is of the devil statement is extra-biblical, meaning outside the Bible. That exact phrase is not used by Pastor Reza Safa, but he teaches that the Bible can be studied to find out about Islam. Terry, how can you find out about Islam in the Bible when Islam didn't exist until 500 years after the New Testament was completed? And how come God never saw Islam coming? He continues, Haiti, turn to God. Did Haiti make a pact with the devil? Are they cursed? Is this why the earthquake happened? It is not impossible. They certainly have opened the door to the devil through voodoo. Terry, the devil comes from the Bible, not voodoo. He said, Haiti, like New Orleans, are known as places of sin, corruption, and disobedience. So Terry, how come Las Vegas escapes all this bad stuff? He said, they do not look or feel blessed. They also openly practice devil worship with its weird practices and sacrifices. Actually, Terry, weird practices and sacrifices are also to be found throughout your Bible. He said, if you hate our Islam is of the devil signs and t-shirts, then you might be a humanist. Terry, I am a humanist, but I have never seen your nutty little t-shirts or signs. He said, in the U.S., 50 million abortions have been performed since 1973. The oldest of these babies, if he had lived but never had a chance, would be 36 years old today. Many of them would have had kids themselves. So we are missing somewhere well beyond 60 million Americans today. 60 million people like you and me who are not allowed to live. Terry, if even one of those 60 million would have turned out like you, then we are all far better off that they were aborted. You are the greatest living proof for the need for abortions. He continues, the martyrdom of Kim Sun-il, who spoke about Jesus to the Iraqi people. Kim Sun-il, not to be confused with North Korea's current leader, was a Korean Christian who had a vision to bring the gospel to Muslims. Terry, Kim wasn't one of your particularly bright ones, was he? He continues, so he studied Arabic and in 2004 worked in Iraq as an interpreter. All the while he shared the gospel message with those he met. After Kim's death, the group that claimed responsibility, Tahid wa al-Jihad, made this statement on their website. We have killed an infidel who tried to propagate Christianity in Iraq. This infidel studied theology and was preparing to become a missionary in the Islamic world. Like I said, Terry, Kim wasn't very well attuned to reality. But I guess that kind of comes with religious belief, doesn't it? The website goes on. The world bombards women with slogans such as equal rights for women and pro-choice, giving us the feeling that we have the right to make the decision to kill an unborn child. But the Bible is very clear when it says, do not murder. Terry, your Bible is also very clear in hundreds of other verses where God not only orders people to kill, but often shows them how to do it. He continues, in Paul's letter to the Philippians, we are reminded to make ourselves nothing, humble ourselves, and then we will shine like stars. Terry, that doesn't jive very well with reality. The people who shine like stars are the ones who do the exact opposite of what Paul taught. He said, forgive. Not easy, but it is the most important truth that you need to get hold of for your life. You need to be forgiven for your faults and sins by others and by God. And you must forgive those who have done wrong to you. So Terry, why doesn't this apply to Muslims? And finally, from his website, he says, as Christians, we have a desire to live a life of trust in God. We know from the Word of God that this is God's plan for us, and we never intend to live otherwise. But the devil tricked Eve and Adam, and he easily seduces us too. Terry, how did Satan trick Adam and Eve? Unless we are using different Bibles, Satan told them the truth when he said that they would not die on the day they ate the fruit. It was God who lied to them by telling them they would. And now we move to the science segment. Today, extinction of woolly mammoth, saber-toothed cat, and other big animals may have been caused by human predators. A new analysis of the extinction of woolly mammoths and other large mammals more than 10,000 years ago suggests that they may have fallen victim to the same type of trophic cascade of ecosystem disruption that scientists say is being caused today by the global decline of predators such as wolves, cougars, and sharks. In each case, the cascading events were originally begun by human disruption of ecosystems. But around 15,000 years ago, the problem was not the loss of a key predator, but the addition of one, human hunters with spears. In a study published in the journal Bioscience, researchers proposed that this mass extinction was caused by newly arrived humans tipping the balance of power and competing with major predators such as saber-toothed cats. An equilibrium that had survived for thousands of years was disrupted, possibly explaining the loss of 2/3 of North America's large mammals during this period. For decades, scientists have been debating the causes of this mass extinction, and the two theories with the most support are hunting pressures from the arrival of humans and climate change. In the late Pleistocene, major predators dominated North America in an uneasy stability with a wide range of mammals, including mammoths, mastodons, ground sloths, camels, horses, and several species of bison. The new study cites previous evidence from carnivore tooth wear and fracture, growth rates of prey, and other factors that suggest that there were no serious shortages of food caused by environmental change between 10 and 15,000 years ago. Quite contrary to that, the large herbivores seemed to be growing quickly and just as quickly had their numbers reduced by a range of significant carnivorous predators, not the least of which were lions, dire wolves, and two species of saber-toothed cats. Food was plentiful for herbivores. The system was balanced, but it was dominated by predators. When human hunters arrived on the scene, they provided new competition with these carnivores for the same prey. But the driving force in eliminating the large mammals, according to the new theory, was not humans. They just got the process started. After that, predators increasingly desperate for food may have driven their prey to extinction over long periods of time and then eventually died out themselves. The loss of species in North America during the late Pleistocene was remarkable. About 80% of 51 large herbivore species went extinct, along with more than 60% of important large carnivores. Previous research has documented the growth rates of North American mammoths by studying their tusks, revealing no evidence of reduced growth caused by inadequate food, thus offering no support for the climate-induced habitat decline. Trophic cascades initiated by humans are broadly demonstrated. In North America, it may have started with the arrival of the first humans, but continues today with the extirpation of wolves, cougars, and other predators around the world. The hunting of whales in the last century may have led to predatory killer whales turning their attention to other prey, such as seals and sea otters. And the declines in sea otter populations has led to an explosion of sea urchins and collapse of kelp forest ecosystems. The tragic cascade of species declines due to human harvesting of marine megafauna happening now may be a repeat of the cascade that occurred with the onset of human harvesting of terrestrial megafauna more than 10,000 years ago. This is a sobering thought, but it is not too late to alter our course this time around in the interest of sustaining Earth's ecosystems. And now the arena goes abroad. Today we travel to Britain, where British girls undergo the horror of genital mutilation despite tough laws. Female circumcision will be inflicted on up to 2,000 British schoolgirls during the summer holidays, leaving brutal physical and emotional scars, yet there have been no prosecutions against the practice. Like any 12-year-old, Jamelia was excited at the prospect of a plane journey and a long summer holiday in the sun. An avid reader, she had filled her suitcases with books and was reading Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban when her mother came for her. She said, "You know it's going to be today." Jamelia didn't know exactly what it would entail, but she knew something was going to be cut. She was made to believe it was genuinely part of her religion. Jamelia went on, "I came to the living room and there were loads of women. I later found out it was to hold me down. I thought I was going to be brave, so I really didn't need that. I just lay down and remember looking at the ceiling and staring at the fan. I don't remember screaming. I remember the ridiculous amount of pain. I remember the blood everywhere. One of the maids, I actually saw her pick up a bit of flesh that they had cut away because she was mopping up the blood. There was blood everywhere." Some 500 to 2,000 British schoolgirls will be genitally mutilated over the summer holidays. Some will be taken abroad, others will be cut or circumcised and sewn closed here in the UK by women already living here or who are flown in and brought to cutting parties for a few girls at a time in a cost-saving exercise. Then the girls will return to their schools and try to get on with their lives, scarred mentally and physically by female genital mutilation. a practice that serves as a social and cultural bonding exercise, and among those who are stitched up to ensure that chastity can be proved to a future husband. One study among Egyptian women found 50% of women who had undergone genital mutilation endured rather than enjoyed sex. Cleanliness, neatness of appearance, and the increased sexual pleasure for the man are all motivations for the practice, but the desire to conform to tradition is the most powerful motive. The rite of passage, condemned by many Islamic scholars, predates both the Quran and the Bible, and possibly even Judaism, appearing in the 2nd century BC. Comfort Moma works at Guy's and St. Thomas Hospital in London. In one of the 16 clinics up and down the country who deal with genital mutilation and its health repercussions, women who have had much of their external genitalia sliced off and their vaginas stitched closed, but for a tiny hole, also come to be cut open in order to give birth. There are four types of female circumcision identified by the World Health Organization, ranging from partial to total removal of the external female genitalia. Some 140 million women worldwide have been subjected to genital mutilation, and an estimated further 2 million are at risk every year. Most live in 28 African countries, while others are in Yemen, Kurdistan, the U.S., Saudi Arabia, Australia, and Canada. The U.K. Prohibition of Female Circumcision Act, 1985, makes it an offense to carry out genital mutilation or to aid, abet, or procure the service of another person. The Female Genital Mutilation Act of 2003 makes it against the law for genital mutilation to be performed anywhere in the world on UK permanent residents of any age and carries a maximum sentence of 14 years imprisonment. To date, no prosecutions have been made under UK legislation. Female genital mutilation is not confined to African countries. It has no basis in Christianity. It has no basis in Islam. None of Muhammad's daughters had it done. Why would anyone want to go and cut up a 7 or 8 year old child? People need to wake up. You are hurting your child. You are hurting your daughter. You're not going to have a grandchild, so wake up. Female genital mutilation, also known as cutting, is practiced in 28 African countries. The prevalence rate ranges from 98% of the girls in Somalia to 5% in Zaire. It also takes place among ethnic groups in the Middle East, India, Pakistan, Malaysia, Indonesia, Australia, Canada, the U.S., and New Zealand. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Sigmund Freud, born 1856, died 1939 at the age of 83. Freud was a Jewish Austrian neurologist who founded the Psychoanalytic School of Psychiatry. Freud is best known for his theories of the unconscious mind and the defense mechanism of repression, and for creating the clinical practice of psychoanalysis for treating psychopathology through dialogue with a patient. Freud is also renowned for his redefinition of sexual desire as the primary motivational energy of human life, as well as for his therapeutic techniques, including the use of free association, his theory of transference in the therapeutic relationship, and the interpretation of dreams as sources of insight into unconscious desires. He was an early neurological researcher into cerebral palsy and a prolific essayist, drawing on psychoanalysis to contribute to the history, interpretation, and critique of culture. While many of Freud's ideas have fallen out of favor or been modified by neo-Freudians, and modern advances in the field of psychology have shown flaws in some of his theories, Freud's work remains influential in the human quest for self-understanding, especially in the history of clinical approaches. In academia, his ideas continue to influence the humanities and social sciences. He is considered one of the most prominent thinkers of the first half of the 20th century in terms of originality and intellectual influence. And now for the quote from Sigmund Freud. Where questions of religion are concerned, people are guilty of every possible sort of dishonesty and intellectual misdemeanor.
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.